everybody, and welcome into episode number 387 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
Welcome. Okay, guys, so we have facts that we're going to try to figure out amongst the three of us. And I think that's really the only introduction that this podcast needs. We're going to have some trivia. We'll play along. Good luck at home. Michael, let's get going. Let's get right into it today. It's all business.
Wow, this is going to be an 8-minute show.
Yeah, here we go. So who is there was this kind of niche little television show. I'm not sure if you guys would have heard of it, called Mad Men.
Oh, okay.
No,
never heard of
it. Okay. Okay. It was on AMC for, I believe, 7 seasons. And I ran across an article that had some interesting statistics about the show itself. Mm-hmm. So over the 7 seasons that Mad Men was on the air, I would like to know, how many drinks did they consume in the office? I wanted to save this for the drunk podcast, but I was like, okay, you know what? We're going to bring this out now.
I'm going to say that it's less than we have consumed in our office.
I don't know about that, but.
So Nick, we got to start. Have you seen Mad Men?
I have seen Mad Men. Yes.
Okay. So you already are at, have more advantage than I do. So
yes, I mean that goes without saying, doesn't it?
Yeah. Wait, what is the saying, more advantage than I do? What were the words?
I don't know. I was just going to go with it and call it good. But you know, if you want to go back and revisit it,
I don't know. That's not a phrase that has ever probably been spoken in the history of time. But again, I am delaying because I have no idea anything. But we know 7 seasons. What do I know about Mad Men? It's what, an advertising agency, and they like are cool dudes, but they're mean to you, the women.
It's a period. It's a period piece. It's like a 1950s. It's set in the 1950s ad world, and it's you know, obviously the offices are misogynistic and, you know, not nice.
A lot of people smoke, probably.
Yeah, a lot of smoking, a lot of drinking, a lot of all of that going on in the office, sort of thing. It was on AMC.
It's set in the 60s, right? Not 50s.
That's correct. 60s.
Okay,
so it's the 60s. So
I mean, that does not change anything, I suppose, to help me get it correct. No,
I think the better path to go down here is, see, the weird thing about Mad Men is it was like the 2005 to 2012, like those are the 7 seasons, give or take, something along those lines.
I think it's 2008 was when it started.
Okay, so 2008 to 2015. The problem with that is that's the period of time when I can't remember if television shows were still doing the 20 to 22 to 24 episodes a season, or if they were doing the 10 episode a season thing.
So I did pull this up just to give you guys kind of a little bit of help. Each season had 13 episodes, except for the final season, which had 14.
Okay, so that's...
over 7 seasons.
Right, so that's 105 episodes over 7 seasons. If I'm doing my math live correctly.
I got that calculator light.
That's definitely not right. I think it's 78. That would be 78. No.
I have 92.
Yeah, 92 is right. That's what I got, Michael. I was just not wasting the time trying to figure it out. Okay, so we got 92 episodes over 7 seasons. So, right. Nick, what percentage of the show are the characters in the office? I would imagine that that's the majority of the time. That's where things happen.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's. I would say it's about half, just over half, right? 55% of the time, maybe 45 to 55% of the time on any given show. So, call it half.
Okay, so
42-minute episodes, 22 minutes on screen in the office.
Right. So I'm trying to think of like, okay, how often are they drinking in the office? And I would guess, if this is from what I know of, like, you know, the ad execs, their attitude and stuff, they're going to be drinking the majority of the time. So how many drinks do they consume in those 22 minutes of screen time? That is the question that Michael is asking. And I think that because he's asking, it's going to be a lot.
Yes, it is. So All right. I think that, you know, a lot of the office scenes, you know, it's like two guys after hours, right? Like, oh, let's have a drink. And they sit and they have a drink.
Or during hours.
Or during hours. Yeah.
As I understand Mad Men, I have not seen the whole thing yet. So
correct. I mean, but most of it is, you know, we're just sitting down and we're having a conversation. So it's two people on screen, generally. It could be three or four, but it's generally two people on screen. If we, again, just going with random numbers. All right. Here's where I'm going to get into my guess. What did we say? 92 episodes.
Mm-hmm. 92 episodes.
22 minutes per episode. That is in the office. I would say that on average, there are three drinks per 22 minutes. So three drinks per episode. So three times the 92 episodes is 276. I'm going to say I'm under by at least half. So add in the fudging factor and call it 400 drinks. In the office, on screen.
Do I need to bother guessing, Michael, or is he spot on?
He's not. However, I think I, after this many years on the podcast, I think I finally learned something. It's not that Nick is necessarily good at guessing my fact. I think he's good at reading me, which is why he offered me a spot at his poker table a while back.
It's a virtual table now.
It is.
I was going to guess 500. I don't know why. That just seems like a number that is a lot. And it's, you know, 70 drinks a season roughly, right? So that feels good. But then also maybe they're doing 100 drinks a season. It's more like 700. So I'm going to say between 500 to 700.
Okay. And Nick said 400?
Yeah. Yep. I'm just doing a range. That's a good strategy. It's more to my advantage.
Yes. You're not following the rules at all.
So it actually comes out to, and this is calculated by AMC themselves.
Oh, okay.
369 drinks.
Nice.
Which comes out to just over four drinks an episode.
Four drinks an episode. What did I say? I said three drinks an episode. And
you
then
said
I
three
added,
drinks
and
an episode, and then you
50%.
Added. Yeah, exactly.
Just always go with your gut. I was so close.
You were very close. Your logic was there,
right?
Until it wasn't.
Right. Until I said, "No, I'm usually off by about this much. Let me pad my answer," which I should never have done.
You got to go with your gut. We learned that with Elise last week, and every trivia player known to the history of time. You just got to go with your gut. Test taking 101. So, in terms of people drinking on screen, where do you think this falls in other television shows for both of you guys?
Less than How I Met Your Mother, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I would
a show
think
that
so.
Takes place essentially in a bar.
Right. Yeah.
Probably less than Game of Thrones. They're drinking all the time.
Yes. Well, Tyrion's drinking all the time.
They're all drinking all the time. There's always a glass of wine in somebody's hand.
That's fair.
Or a pouch of mead.
Okay, for the record, I just did a quick Google and I have the drinks per episode or drinks per season of the on How I Met Your Mother. So somebody went through and calculated it out and they have it broken down by glasses of whiskey, pints of beer, glasses of wine and others like martinis, cocktails, etc. And then they have it broken down by character. So I ask you first, who drank the most on How I Met Your Mother?
Lily.
Marshall.
Robin.
Marshall, Robin, both of you are incorrect. It is Ted. Ted drank beer mostly and 615 pints of beer over the course of the season. Lily drank the worst, but drank wine, Robin, beer. Barney, what was his drink of choice?
Scotch.
He's a Scotch guy.
Yeah, so yeah, whiskey. So 469 glasses of whiskey. And then season five was their drunkest season where they had 532 drinks per season. So
that is, so when you think about it, really, that show took place over what, 10 years?
Nine seasons. 532 was season five, which was the most, but the other ones were anywhere from 300 to 400. And the last season was only 187 drinks consumed.
I was going to say the last season's like 2 days. So I think it's only like,
right. What, that's still a lot for 2 days. What was the, what was the total for the whole show?
I don't know. I would need to do some quick math here to add it up. Or, well, they have it broken down by category. So 688 glasses of whiskey, 1,668 pints of beer, 404 glasses of wine and 349 martini cocktails, etc. So other drinks.
Okay, so that's a total of 2,509 drinks. And how many seasons was it?
Nine.
Divided by nine seasons, divided by six people, that's 46 drinks a year.
Five people.
Okay.
That's a big difference.
Yes.
Five people. You know, we've talked about How I Met Your Mother before, but I'm so mad because it was one of those things where the hype was never going to, you know, you're watching the show and all you want to do is meet the mother. And you're thinking to yourself, there is no way possible that she could meet any sort of expectations that you have. And then she completely blew it out of the water and was the best character by far on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh yeah. But by the way, that is, if that's an accurate number, that's one drink a week. It's one drink every 5.5 days.
That's terrible.
That's not bad. I mean, assuming they didn't ever drink off camera.
That's a big if.
On camera, that's only one drink a week. That's not unreasonable. If that's unreasonable, then I have a problem.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably less than I drink.
Imaginary or dream sequences are not considered too. So we'll make sure to put this in the link dump so you guys can talk about it. But yeah, I definitely think How I Met Your Mother is up there in terms of drinks consumed. And then I would say Cheers probably too has to be on list of.
One would think. I would say the flip side of that, Walking Dead, another AMC show, would have to be toward the bottom of that list.
Yeah. Right. Which is great because it's probably the show that you actually want to drink the most.
Yeah.
Zombie apocalypse, like, I don't know, man. I'm going to need a stiff one.
No, absolutely not. If there's a zombie apocalypse happening, I'm drinking my water. I'm being well hydrated so I can run again. Yep. And I'm also trying to not be drunk.
You gotta take the edge off, though.
I am clumsy enough without any sort of alcohol, so. okay, so Nick, do you have a segue from television, booze, drinking into your fact, or do you need me to make a sketch as I do?
Go for Stretch. It. You go for Stretch. It. I don't have an easy one.
Okay, so I have actually two interesting facts that I would love to share with you guys. The first one is an easy segue, which is related to television because it is a television show fact, and we've been talking about TV. That is not as fun. So I will say instead, drinking, a big place that drinking happens is in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is home to one of the greatest magic acts of all time, or at least that's where they're currently headquartered. I don't know if that's the term, but Penn and Teller have a show in Vegas.
In residence, I believe, is the term.
In residence, yes. Thank you. I was like, they're home. That's where they live, kind of. But was lucky enough to go see Penn and Teller's show while it was in Vegas. And they, of course, have a television show called Fool Us. Have you guys seen this show?
Yes.
Have not.
Okay. It is excellent if you love magic, which I do. I love magic. And wait, oh my gosh, I missed the biggest segue of all, Nick. The host of Fool Us is Lily.
Yes, Allison Hannigan.
Yeah, Allison Hannigan.
How I Met Your Mother, Allison Hannigan was on another show called Let's Fool Us, which is a magic show with Penn and Teller.
Oh, I can't believe I missed the most obvious segue of all. That's an actual legitimate connection. Sigh. Anyway,
I am not all that surprised.
I know.
If it's obvious, there's no reason to go for it.
I'm off my game today. But anyway, she hosts the show, Michael, the concept. Magicians come on the show. They perform an act for Penn and Teller in a live studio audience. And then Penn and Teller like discuss afterward and say, okay, did this person fool us? Do Penn and Teller know how they did the trick or did they fool? Right. My question to you guys, what percentage, according to Penn, do magicians fool them on the show? And they never reveal the magician's trick. They talk in like some sort of secret magician code and the person on stage has to be like, oh, they figured it out. And I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Why was it just according to Penn? Why didn't anybody ask Teller?
That might be the funniest thing you've said. We got their autographs after the show and Teller was talking and it was the weirdest thing.
Yeah. I've seen him talk in interviews. It's really weird.
Yeah. It was like, what's happening? But yeah, so Penn is the one quoted in this article, which I figured was a fairly good source because it's the guy on the show.
There you go.
Is the show still on the air?
Mm-hmm. They're making new episodes in 2020.
Okay.
And Michael? Is it one act per episode?
Multiple acts per episode.
Yeah.
Okay, but percentage of all acts that fool them.
Yep. So the general rate is how they described it out of a, like, you know, it's a percentage. So how many fool Penn and Teller?
Yeah, I think there's what, 4 or 5 per show?
I usually just watch YouTube, if I'm being honest. Millennial in the house.
Okay, Michael, what do you get?
As somebody that has never, ever seen this show or even heard of it, one, I want to go back and watch it. Two, if it is somewhere between 4 and 5 acts per episode, if it is that many, I'm going to say at least one per episode does fool them.
That would be positive editing, yes.
Yes. So I will say, now is it total acts or is it aired acts?
He's just saying this is the percentage that fools them. So I have no more information beside him.
It would, I would think the two would be related.
Okay. Well, because as soon as you brought up the idea of editing, it was like, okay, how many don't fool them and aren't good and therefore don't make the show? And does that increase the number?
Right.
What was that, Lindsay?
I wanted to make it a very clear point that the trophy that if you fool Penn and Teller has a big FU on it. So I don't know if that changes your math at all, but there is a trophy awarded. It does say FU on it.
We're called that X. I'm going to say
20%. 20%. Okay.
I think that's high, but because of editing and whatnot, I'm going to say 20%.
So 1 in 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say 40%. I'm going to say, like, Michael, you took a great tack on that. You went from the, you put on your producer's hat and you said, great, 5 acts per show, per half hour show. Right. And 4 of them don't fool Penn and Teller, and then one of them does. So, yeah, I think that's a great number. I'm going to go 40, saying 2 out of 5 fool them.
Okay, so a high number of people fool Penn and Teller is what you're thinking. Okay.
To be 100% honest, I was going to say 40% originally until Lindsay said there was a trophy.
Right.
I am so not kidding. I was like, oh, I bet you because there's an actual prize that you get, it is lower than I think.
Okay. Michael, that is very sound logic, and you were actually closer, but you both went over. Only 12% general rate of fooling Penn and Teller, 12%. So it is a little bit rare, just over 1 in 10 do so, but yeah, 12% fool them. Great. We'll make sure we put a lot of stuff in the link dump, but it's really fun to try to figure out the magician's code and figure out if they fool them. It's great.
I did say I thought I was high.
Yeah, Michael, well done. Well done.
All right,
well, so do we have? Oh, good. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah. Speaking of percentages,
Okay.
I'm going to say for the record, I had a bonus magic fact, but I'm going to save it for a future episode. So.
No, Lindsay, you will reveal it on a future episode.
Even better.
All right. So, speaking of percentages, one of the things that can be calculated via a percentage is profits. And in order to come up with profits, you need to figure out the cost of the goods sold, right? That's the important piece of figuring out the profit. How much did it cost to make?
Somebody went to business school.
Yeah. So it's, this is definitely not something that we got taught on day one. So it's also that time of year again, the time of year where all of the new technology companies say, here are the new phones that are coming out in the world.
Yep.
So that means the old phones, those aren't important anymore. We can start releasing data and information about that. So my question to you, Lindsay, both you and Michael have iPhones, yes?
Correct.
That is correct.
Okay. The iPhone 11 Pro Max, which I believe was top of the line until recently.
I honestly don't even know I have.
Here's the delay. Lindsay, does your phone have a button? A home button?
I had to look at it to see. It does not have a button.
Okay. Mine still does.
Oh.
So mine is older than yours for sure.
Yes.
Okay. I love buttons. I miss the headphone jack. Bring back the headphone jack.
All of my headphones except for what I'm wearing right now are Bluetooth. So I'm golden.
Right. That's why
you have to actually charge them. And also, I just like being connected. I miss the headphone jack. Give me both. Fine. Change the charger. Charge me more for cables. But I just want a headphone jack.
If they have a headphone jack, your phone will be 1 millimeter thicker. And that's just unacceptable.
You're right.
What I did for my last phone is I took a drill, right? And
just drilled it right in. Well, you know what, Nick, if there's one thing you know, it's that women's pant pockets are definitely
there's so much extra room in there.
And also, yeah. I don't know why I said you would know about women's pant pockets, but I just meant like in general, I guess.
I am a connoisseur of women's pant pockets, especially the back ones.
in Lindsay's defense, of the two of us, Nick is married.
True.
Yes.
True.
Yes. There are lots of women's pants pockets in my laundry room, and I do the laundry. So I spend a lot of time with women's pants pockets, at least in
close
proximity.
I live with three male roommates, so women's clothing, not a lot laying around.
It's just a rule that if a woman's dress has pockets in it, you have to compliment the pockets and say, oh my God, pockets.
At no point have I been more convinced at how much of a little girl I have first off, she wears dresses all the time. And this is how ingrained that response is in women. At 2.5 years old, with barely a grip on the English language, she comes downstairs in a new dress and she goes, look, Daddy, pockets.
yes, it is nature over nurture. You know, it's just, it's in our DNA. But yeah. I forgot the original prompt. What's that?
So the iPhone 11 Pro Max. I don't know how we got from the iPhone 11 to my daughter's dresses, but we did it. Yeah. So the iPhone 11 Pro Max, which was top of the line up until the new phones were just recently released. How much do the materials cost? So no labor, no shipping, none of that stuff. How much are the actual physical materials? What is the cost of the materials to make up that iPhone? Give or take $50.
Cool. So Michael, what do you know about what makes an iPhone? Like physically, what is this thing?
So what I know it is they are cheaply made.
Yeah. It's aluminum, I think, right?
I think the outer like the back or something like that may be aluminum. I know the circuit boards, I believe, are kind of plastic-esque. I don't know much.
There's got to be some.
Is what I'm trying to say. Is I'm basically trying to make it up on the fly. I don't know. I don't know what goes into my phone. I call somebody and it sometimes works because I have AT&T. like that's what I know of my phone.
Still the best community line. You're the AT&T of people, Britta. Okay. Well, so Michael, the point is we don't know anything about that it goes into. I think aluminum. I think there's some copper. I don't know enough about how technology is made to go beyond that, let alone make a price of it. But we know that
vibranium's built in somehow.
Yeah. So let's work backwards, Michael. So how much is the new iPhone 11? What will that retail for?
It's got to be $400 minimum, right? I don't even like I said, I have an iPhone 8, I think.
Oh, Michael, you are in for such a rude awakening when you have to get a new phone. You're going to cry. You're going to cry. That's how out of date
like
you are.
I think it's like 1,000, right?
Huh?
It's like close to 800 or 1,000, right?
So the iPhone 11 Max, based on the size of the storage that you wanted in it, was between $1,250 and $1,450.
Why?
Just throwing that out there, Michael. You were buying about 25% of what the actual cost is.
My phone still works. I'm not worried about it right now. Like I've never been like, I need the newest and best whatever. I don't need that. My phone works. People can get a hold of me. You guys got a hold of me when I was late for the podcast today. My phone works.
Right.
Yeah, except that Apple is probably hearing this conversation happening now, and they're going to start slowing down your stuff. So you are screwed, my friend.
I am doing this on a MacBook, unfortunately. But if it helps, my Amazon Dot is in the room as well. So if Apple starts slowing stuff down, Amazon, go ahead and ship me something.
Right, yeah. I was going to say, you're going to start getting ads for phones that are half price.
Yeah, probably watch as that happens for sure the next time I'm on something. Okay, so materials. I was going to say way under 50 until he gave me the range of 50. I was going to say it costs like $20 to make a phone.
I was going to say $50 because that's about what 4 to 5% of the range that you said. Right. So I felt like 4 to 5% on materials is super duper duper low. And so I want to stick with my gut and I'm going to stick to $50, even though you're giving that range.
I'll say 100.
Okay. So we got 50 and we got 100. So I can tell you this, the most expensive piece of the iPhone
was the headphone jack, apparently.
Yeah. It costs $73.50. Okay. Okay. The Retina display is $66.50. The A13 chip that runs the phone is $64. There's the screen and all the other interior pieces on it. The total cost, both of you are so wrong that there will be no winner here. This is no Price is Right rules.
I'm closer. Both.
So you are closer, but you are so far away from being close. I'm disqualifying both of you. The correct answer is $490.50 is the cost of materials that go into the phone, right? Just the battery itself, the lithium in the batteries and the number of different rare elements that are in the phone is significant. There's chromium in it and there's all kinds of other stuff. $490.50 was the cost to build the phone. That's still a decent profit margin when you sell them for $1,450 a piece,
I would think.
So you're still making a good amount of money on that front. So that's my interesting fact. But bonus fact, and this is unsupported, and I can't remember where I read it as I was going through this, and I can't find it now. So this is all hearsay. I was reading something that said if you had taken the iPhone 11 Pro Max and gone back in time to like 1990, way back in time, the total cost of
15 years ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 15 years ago. The total cost of materials of the iPhone would have been somewhere in like the $1.8 million range.
Wow.
I absolutely believe that.
Yeah. So even if you had all of the technology, all the research and development, everything you needed just to buy the materials would have been like $1.8 million.
Mind blowing.
Thank God it's cheaper now because I don't think I could afford that in a phone.
No, not even.
I am now really worried about breaking my current phone.
Don't ever break it.
I thought that it was going to be like a cheap thing, but I mean, I guess that makes way more sense than my logic train. But this is as per tradition on the We Don't Know Either podcast. So
Yep. So just Michael, keep in mind the price you thought it cost to buy a new iPhone is actually cheaper than it costs them to make it.
Yeah.
For the record at home, Michael's like taking a sip of coffee, like the Kermit meme at the moment. All right, guys. So our secret phrase is going to be most to my advantage. That's going to be a thing now. Most to my advantage. So most to my advantage. One more quick announcement. We are hosting a Explorer Trivia Night with National Geographic. So check us out at districttrivia.com. Go to our public event page so you can join us that for Explorer Trivia on Thursday, August 20th. We also have another event series coming up with the Botanic Garden. So check it out there and hire us for your private event to bring trivia to you. But this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We don't know either.
Bye.